The Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. All right? And if that's going to happen to the earth, I believe that the people of God first, their lives must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas, because it is from them that knowledge will begin to flow forth onto the rest of the earth. Do you understand that point? Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. All right, let's go into today's teaching. Now, I think we did most of Genesis chapter 3 that there is to do. So today, let's just continue. Let me pick a verse where we can continue from. But let me just get a link for where we stopped last week and then continue from that. Last week, we got down to around verse 8, thereabout. I said something about verse 11. Yeah, we'll stop around verse 11. But you remember that the important thing I mentioned before that was that before you can disobey God, you must doubt Him. Do you follow my point? And that's what Satan tries to do. Help people doubt, question the express instructions of God. And I hope that many people got that CD, The Knowledge of Good and Evil, because there we explained extensively that people will sit down in science and try to explain why the word of God is not so. All right? And God really has no quarrel with those who say it. His quarrel is all primarily with those who believe what they have been told as opposed to what God has said. And that's what we call the knowledge of good and evil. It's in that particular CD titled The Knowledge of Good and Evil. Now, I said something last week again. I emphasized that so much about that progression from hearing to seeing. That's what you have heard that colors how you see things. And then you now begin to handle, and then you eat. And that's how actions are produced. And then those actions now begin, they are like seeds. Whatever you do, you now get the result in this earth. And the only thing that God allows you in life is to choose the things that you will do. And from what I have said, I think this is very important to help those of us who are here. Now, God allows you to choose. Let me say this. We taught this one of those Saturdays, that in life, words are seeds. Jesus said that the seed is the word of God, all right? Now, when words are sown into your heart, they produce results, like we have seen. They produce works. Now, the works that are done are now they are the new kind of seeds that produce something else for you on the earth. That is, when you have heard something, it makes you do something. Now, because of that thing that you do, the earth now begins to respond to you. Now, where God begins to judge is not where you heard. It's not when you heard. Where He begins to judge is when you did. Unfortunately, by the time you are doing, you are not doing it consciously. It's not a conscious decision you now make at that point to do something. It is as a result of processes. That's what I emphasized so much last week. Processes that have been going on inside the heart. Therefore, now God will judge you for what you did. Life will respond to you according to what you are doing. Are you getting my point? But you see, it is not within you just to decide to do or not to do. Therefore, your responsibility is to go backwards and start clipping those things from the process of hearing and imbibing and discussing and contemplating. Are you getting my point? So that's why Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, said this is the way it works. Guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flows forth the issues of life. Are you getting my point? In verse 23. Before that, verses 20, 21, down to 22. He said that, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. I hope you are getting the point. He now said, next line, guard your heart with all diligence. What we are trying to say is simple. You see, what you will do in life, it will be a product of what you have heard, what you have been told, what you have seen. Do you get my point? So people try to guard their actions, but that's not really the issue. What they should guard is what they are hearing. What they should guard is what they are seeing. What they should guard is what they are thinking about. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, whatsoever things are good, lovely, of good report, he said, think about these things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what actually decides your actions. Now, God will not judge you based on what you heard. He will not judge judge you based on what you thought primarily, but based on what you did. And life responds to you according to what you did, except that those doings are not within your control. They are products of what you heard, what you swallowed, you get my point, and what you saw. All right, when you put everything together, they produce actions automatically. So Solomon said, for that reason, I'm warning you, guard your heart, guard it. That is when they start talking rubbish, close your ears and go away. And nobody's talking to you. You're not supposed to hear. Put two hands in your ears and start shouting. I don't want to hear. You know, this is just to make us laugh. You know, I don't watch football, especially if Nigeria is playing a knockout match. Are you getting my point? Maybe Nigeria is playing an international. It's World Cup. And then round one, I can try to watch. But once it gets to round two and quarterfinals, I know they watch you. It's a knockout. Because every time you miss a goal, you understand? My heart faints, all right? My heartbeat drops. Anytime they come near our goal, my heartbeat picks up, and then literally you check my temperature, it goes up. And this is not in keeping with long life and prosperity. So I avoid it. So, Atlanta 96. I think it was Atlanta 96. You know, those who like football, they don't like watching it alone. They like to congregate. So I had one little TV that time. So there was a small congregation in the little room where I was staying in Luz. My brother was there, I still remember. My friend, family, a number of people, Max, you know, they all gathered. Small congregation. As they gathered, I'm talking about guarding your heart. Once they gathered, like when the match was about to start, it was semifinals against Brazil, Atlanta 96. I gently carried my deck. I had this sharp twin cam set, carried it, entered the apartment. Had a funny shape. The kitchenette is at the back, and it has a kind of door that closes it off, and has louvers there. So I closed the louvers, closed the door, entered the back there, put on the music at the highest volume, and brought a book so that even the commentary would do mistakenly come near my ears. I was guarding my heart with all diligence. I said, Brazil. You know how dangerous Brazil is. You don't want to play poor Nigeria in a knockout match. I said, not me. Man, I want to live long. I'm not watching this one. I just to complete the gist. It's my dress of people. So I sat down there. After a long time, I came out. Everywhere was quiet. I said, I still remember the music I was playing. It was on instrumentals. So I came out to my friend. How goes the battle? Now, that's... We quoted down from one Ken Hagen tape that we listened to. I said, how goes the battle? The guy looked at me and said, are you sure you want to know? Even if you don't tell me, I already know. He said, the battle is bloody. I said, discussed. He said, 3-1. And we're down. So I went back inside. I began to pray. I said, God, for all the iniquities of the Brazilians, do not forget. I remember that was prayer I prayed. I said, God, they have sinned. All those samba dances that they dance, don't forget it. All those naked girls they parade, bring forth their iniquities. God, look at their iniquity. It's bad. As for us, in the light of thy countenance, show us mercy. Let the blood of Jesus, God is my witness. It was the kind of prayer I prayed. I prayed. Lord, don't forgive them at all. Oh, God. So I sat down there. I'm serious. I really, really prayed. From the bottom of my heart. I still remember. It's not every time I pray that kind of prayer. I remember. I called up all their iniquities. I said, Lord, look at it. So next thing I knew was that I heard noise, and my friend ran into the bedroom section and threw the bed, the mattress off the bed. I said, that cannot be one go. That must be an equalizer. So I came out. I said, equalizer, they said yes. I said, I'll watch the rest of the match. I knew we were going to win. You know, the prayer arose up to heaven, and God released some dangerous angels. According to Apostle Ben Gagbafe, the kind of angels that smoke Igbo. So I knew they were on our side. So I sat down and watched the way was a hook. I've all who crossed the ball, he hit the back of Amokachi, I still remember, and they bounced back, and Kanu took the ball, and wah! I said, yes. The Lord is on our side indeed. It was sudden death. They died suddenly. Yeah, it was called sudden death. The golden goal, what they call it, the golden rule, yes. Anyway, why did you get into that? Just talking about guarding your heart. So that day, I guarded my heart with all diligence. When I talk about diligence, it was like, you got even the commentary mustn't enter my ears. I put the music was on full volume, put myself in one enclosure so that the noise was disturbing my ears. I couldn't hear the commentary outside. All the four goals, three from the Brazilians and one from Nigeria, and then the fifth one that Nigeria scored before the final equalizer. I didn't hear any. Nobody, all the morning, you know, they wouldn't shout too much. It's, wow. Oh. Those ones were, you know, and those ones, my music could keep them down. All right? In the same manner in life, when people are talking too much, all right, nonsense in your ears, you have to guard your heart. You get my point. You don't sit down with those who feed your heart with negative things. You know, I've seen people whose hearts are full of nonsense. You know, once I was discussing with my wife about the way some people talk and all that. I told her, listen, this guy will talk like this. Why? I said, just ask yourself, how many books do you see him read? Are you getting my point? How many messages do you see him listen to? When you see this guy, what is he doing? And what I'm telling you is not a joke, you know. Every time you depart away from this feasting and romancing with the word of God, there is no how your faith won't drop. There is no how fear will not fill your heart. It's not a matter of trying. The only thing that makes your heart strong and solid is what you are eating. Do you get my point? If you see a man who used to go to the gym last year, man, this guy will bench press 250 pounds. No struggles. When the guy is eating, take a half chicken and they go, kill it. You know what I'm going to say? You know, this guy, he will be strong. There's no how he won't be strong. You understand? You know, see the guy following here, say, man, this guy last year bench pressed 250 pounds. And I'm talking about 20 reps. Say, wow, that guy eat chicken, eat everything. Say, man, I'm sure that guy, he can carry it. If you don't ask yourself, what has he been eating the last 1 year? Since you saw him last, where has he been? If the guy, since that time now, the guy has just been sitting down watching television, maybe he got married and his wife has been feeding him ice cream and he doesn't have time to go to the gym again. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You now go and bring weight, think he will carry. He can't carry it. I don't know what I am getting, what I'm saying. The issue is what he's feeding on now. All right? That's what decides the strength of his soul, the strength of his spirit. Are you getting my point? I'm talking about words now. If you are feeding on the word of God, you will be strong spiritually. You will be. There's no how you will not be strong. If you sit down and remember, you know, I heard a person just appointed this one. What? He did. Wow. And they sit down. And the next 1 hour, you know, people who are, they don't even know where the state house in Enugu is. How much more Aso Rock in Abuja. They don't know what's going on in their local government headquarters. I keep on saying this. Newspapers print to sell. They don't try to disperse the truth. Listen, typical newspaper in Nigeria, I told myself, I won't buy again. They turn article and Obasanjo to what they call it, a super story. Remember, a super story. Every day you read the update. It's a soap opera now. It's pure romance, you know, stories. That's what they are trying to, you know, it's what sells. And, you know, I'm one person that doesn't have time for reading opinions of everybody. This is sad, but this is a fact. You give the journalist 3,000 naira, he prints your rubbish opinion. So when they put this in the video, it doesn't impress me. I know what's going on. I know what is going on. The guy has paid. Honestly, I refuse. CNN is worse. I hope you know. CNN is worse. They are all the same sons of Satan. They are of their father's the devil. Liars every bit. All that is happening in Nigeria is that they are kidnapping foreigners and they are shooting Niger Delta. They don't know that greater things are happening every day. Better things are moving nation forward. And I make anyway, it's not them go lose. When good is about to come, we say, come and eat. They say, we heard they are shooting there. They won't come. Then those who don't care, who are not loving their lives until they do believe the word of God will come and they will be blessed. How do you get into all of this, Joe? We have not even started reading our Bible for today. I'm just trying to explain that principle. It's so, so important. That is, what you have to do is guard your what? Heart. Whatever is coming in, filter it. If it looks like too much rubbish, don't go there. All right? When people are always bringing condemnation upon you, they are not stirring up your spirit to love God more. avoid them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Don't go there. Every time, pick your Bible in the morning. In fact, like somebody said, before the Muslims wake up also. Before they pollute the air, sanctify the air. Now the point I'm making is that. So you guard your heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Before they start infiltrating it with nonsense. Because, you see, this one I know to be a fact. Life is lived by spiritual laws. Are you getting my point? I've seen too much in life I know now, not just like because I'm a preacher, I'm persuaded. No, spiritual things are first. If you believe they can sell a lie to you that you are nothing, you will never amount to anything in life. Now, I'm telling you, people just keep telling you, look, I know you can't do well, you are stupid, you are mad, you are, at the end of the day, you'll be surprised. Look, you will be 50, you look back, what have I done the last 30 years? Nothing. You don't know that those words killed your intellect. Oh, you don't get my point. Those words, they will remove your zeal. I've told you, it's not the action time. It's not the action time that the problem starts. It's before then. They have sapped away your ability to think. You will see beautiful opportunities to make progress in life like this. But you have believed it, but you didn't know it. That, listen to me, you know it's risky. If you take the chance, you're dead. You go look like, that's why God had to say, I want only those who are ready to die. Are you getting my point? Those who don't love their lives, that they don't care if they died. So, you know, because that's what Satan tries to do. Half bread is better than none. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Warren Buffett, the second richest man in the world. He said, it's not true. He said, put all your eggs in one basket and then watch the basket with your life. That's how he made it in life. You know, this one of play safe, you never know, things might go wrong. Remember, don't do it. You say it's not true. That you won't go. No, really, really. That's just the way life is. If I lose this job now, you understand, I have many I have things to do. Meanwhile, God says, hold that, you will have hackened onto me. Then your well-being will have been like a river. How do you think? Your righteousness like a river and the well-being like the waves of the sea. That is, there's an avalanche of blessing that will have poured to you, but Satan has removed your will to fight. You are getting my point. Satan will just take little things. Used to scare people away from blessing. Let's get down to our message, y'all. Look, I'm just saying all of this because that was what killed Eve. She was listening to ungodly music. You get on ungodly music. You follow what I'm saying? All right. So, as Christians, that's the thing about life. Watch what you hear. Watch what you read, and not just filtering away the bad ones, but filling your heart, your hands. Not just your heart now. Your hands. Grab a book. Let it be your companion. Are you getting my point? He said, exalt her, she shall promote you. You know, love her, seek after her like people go for hidden treasures. Are you getting my point? That's what he said. You follow what I'm saying? You fill your whole environment with it. I like the fact that most of the people who enter my car, as I turn the key, first thing you hear is, you hear maybe Pastor Kpoju booming in the background, or Bishop Oyedepo or Kenneth Hagin. Yes. I have to put it down so I can talk to you. I love my cars. That is one major reason. Because once I enter, somebody is talking to me. You get my point? Somebody is talking. Somebody is filling my heart with truth. Somebody is filling my heart with the love of God. Are you getting my point? So that when you now take decisions later, it's not that time. You get what I'm saying? It's not that time. Those decisions took themselves for you. Do you get my point? The decisions made themselves for you. You didn't have to make them. You just noticed that you made them. The time you made this choice was to fill you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You follow what I'm making? You fill your hand, fill your eyes, fill your ears with the thing. Drown yourself with the truth of God. You will do the right things. And then God will now reward you for doing the right things. Remember my best example? Solomon. Solomon said, God, give me wisdom. It was a spirit his father dropped into him. My son, love wisdom. Anytime you get to a crossroad, he said, what do you want to say is wisdom? He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, acquire wisdom. You know, he said, with all that getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote you. A crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. And an ornament of grace. He said, in her right hand is prosperity, and left hand, you know, he explained that, listen, the wisdom is the thing to go for. Solomon heard it, imbibed it, and things settled in him. When God asked, before he thought, the answer had come forth. So apart from filtering away what is bad, you also have a responsibility to fill your heart. There was something this man said, I think it was Oswald J. Smith, one of those old men of all those days. He called it the explosive power of a new affection. Are you getting my point? That is, it's not just I won't fill my environment with bad things. That the easiest way to remove bad things is to bring in good things. Do you get my point? That is, if you were to deliver a demon and the house is empty, it will go around and come back and find the place empty and garnished. You are getting the principle? Actually, what it needs is that when the demon goes out, the Holy Spirit settles in. Next time it comes, he says, fire, don't go near. You are getting the principle. That's why we are doing all these things we are doing, because we don't want to become like Eve. Like I said, Eve was deceived. But the Bible says she was deceived and then fell into transgression. It was still transgression. A lot of Christians do things out of the fact that they have been deceived. They have heard too many wrong things. All right. Let's start today's zone. So, I said we'll start around verse what? Yeah. So, I remember the last thing I explained last week, and I want to start from there today. Let's go to verse 11. From verse 10, we know that God came down from verse 8, and then God was looking for them, wondering where they were. He really wasn't wondering. He wanted them to know where they were, because with him, there's no darkness, all right? Everything is laid bare before him that we have to do. So he said, where are you? That is, Adam, are you sure of where you are? You get the point? Adam said, this is the way it is. I heard the sound of you, that is your footsteps, crackling of leaves and branches and all that in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. That's verse 10. So I hid myself. And then 11, he said, who told you that you were naked? He said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And then he said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Verse 13 said, the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. That is, what God was questioning her about is the fact that she also ate something. Not just that she gave to her husband. I don't really think that God was questioning the fact that she gave to her husband, because the husband had the choice to eat or not to eat. So, but that she also ate, God said, why did you eat? And he said, it was because the serpent deceived me and I ate. And at this point, when God appeared, she realized that she had been deceived. Then the Lord said to the serpent, now, before we read verse 14, let me just revise something I said, just continue it actually, about when God said, who told you that you were naked? Because he told God, I was naked, Adam said, I discovered I was naked. And God said, who told you? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now, this one, I just want to use this verse 11 to emphasize a point again. I was thinking about it, I think it was today or yesterday. That, I think it was earlier on today. That God said, because I explained this in one way last week, but there's another way I just saw that I think is even more appropriate. So let me just explain it. God said, who told you you were naked? Then the next question is that, have you eaten what I told you not to eat? Now, there are many ways to see this. I said last week, question number one, every time new truth is, you know, truth in quotes, is brought forth, is what is the source? Because, you see, they say pictures don't lie. I read long ago somewhere, he said, but captions do. You know, are you getting my point? Pictures don't lie, but captions do. You see a picture, you see a man pointing a gun at another man. Doesn't mean anything. You have to explain what the picture is doing. You can say he's trying to shoot him, or he's trying to shoot over his head at an attacker behind. Are you getting my point? We can't see what is behind him. You follow what I'm saying? So they say pictures never lie, captions do. So even though you saw a picture, all right, you ask yourself, who took this picture? What is the person saying? That is, what is under it? Though there's a picture, this is where I state, these are my own words. I say, yes, there are facts. But interpretation of facts is very subjective. Because facts in themselves really don't mean anything. You have to interpret the facts. Do you get my point? They say that if you go to North Korea, South Korea, and at the border of North Korea to South Korea, they had this phantom, like a phantom city. It's an imaginary city. That the North Koreans built a very beautiful city that you could see from South Korea, but there's nothing inside. They wanted to show them the prosperity of communism. But the truth is that there's nothing inside. They just did the outside of the building, very beautiful, at night, well lit. But once you enter the city, you see behind is desert and dryness. Do you get what I'm saying? So you see what appears like fact. How do we interpret it? Somebody can say, that is prosperity. I say, no, it's a lie of the devil trying to deceive us that there is prosperity there. I'm bringing out a point here. So God was emphasizing here that who told you you were naked? Now, what he was saying is that for you to accept truth, that is information about your nakedness, your heart must have been in a particular kind of condition. That was why he asked the next question. Have you eaten? That is because those who have not yet eaten of that tree that I commanded them not to eat, then they will not be able to accept the fact that they are naked. Are you getting what I want to say? See, we are back to it again. Don't let me just sit on it. It is what you have been eating that helps you to interpret information that is given to you. Jesus said that you will see calamity. There are two ways to interpret it. One, trouble has come upon us. We're about to die. Therefore, hearts faint. He said, or rejoice because your redemption is near. You are seeing the same thing. You can enter the promised land and see beautiful land and see giants. That is what you have been eating beforehand. For the people who have been feeding on manna, they will say, wait, Pastor, could you explain something some time ago? Now, you know, life is so interesting. You are sharing one truth. Just remember one statement somebody made and you know, a new light dawns. He said, now this is just now I'm remembering it. That do you know why Joshua and Caleb didn't doubt God? He said, because they were eating only manna. They were not eating all those strange animals. Well, until now, it didn't make so much sense. It's now that I'm preaching this one, that suddenly that one is connecting. He said, those guys, that Moses, Joshua, Caleb, said they desired nothing else. God served manna, they ate manna. Look, that's this ritual truth. That gives strength to their souls, that their spirits were strengthened. So when they saw challenges, all right, it didn't cross their minds to doubt what God said. Why? Because all they had been eating was manna. That those who had been desiring all the cucumbers and snails and the periwinkles and, you know, that were being cooked in Egypt, that those ones, listen, you know, just like I was saying just now, it is not at that point that the decisions were made. You know, that's not the way it's before. That those guys had been eating all kinds of things, either physically or in their hearts. Therefore, when the challenge came, they had no choice but to doubt God. But at those old boys, all they ate was manna. And this, look, listen. Oh, God, you know, the thing just connecting now. I just remember another story. Daniel, all right? Azariah, Meshach, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what happened? They were going to feed them all kinds of things. The boy said, we don't eat this one. What are you going to eat? Just give us vegetables and water. All right? There is a spirit in man. You know, look, the word can become flesh. That's what they were saying. Don't worry. Are you getting my point? And that was the reason why they had understanding. They were not overfed. Look, listen. This is a fact about life. It is even on record now. All right? That all this junk food now, this is even on natural planes, though. This junk food that is now popular in the world, all right, which are actually foods of poverty, which Nigerians think they are foods of prosperity. You know, it's not good to be poor in life, you know what I mean, as a nation. We think that once you can eat chicken and meat pie and all those kinds of things, you think you are doing well. The truth is that the best food to eat is still pounded yam with onugu soup, you know, ora, you know. It's still the best. I'm a pathologist. I've read all kinds of things. Cancer of the prostate is being linked to eating too much refined food. Cancer of this. The other day, Ben Carson, he had cancer of the prostate. And then they were interviewing him. He said, what has changed in his life since he discovered? He said he has changed what he ate. That now he goes for natural food, fruits, vegetables, and all that. All these processed foods. Someone will tell me that if you enter where McDonald's is frying chicken, you will eat again. That when you see the kind of fat they use, that's why they tell you, eat it while it's hot. Because if it becomes cold, you will see the fat. That's on a natural plane. Spiritually, it's even truer. So Pastor Paul, he said that long ago. He said that the reason why those guys didn't doubt God was because they had been eating manna. Not just, of course, you can understand, not just like eating manna because everybody ate it, but that their desire was for manna. That was what they wanted to eat. That was what Moses said to them, it is good to eat. And that was what they focused on. But of course, in fact, now, I remember that particular article, Covenant Letters. The title was Manna, the Food of Champions. The Food of what? Champions. You know, Milo said it too. Milo, the Food of what? the footrun of future champions. They understood that it's not of he that willeth, it is of him that eateth. You get my point? It is what the man eateth that decides. You get what I'm saying? It's what he imbibes. You're following what I'm trying to say here? That is, so God told them that, you are beginning to see visions. You must have been eating something you're not supposed to eat. You understand the principle? God said, you are naked? Who told you? People are always telling stories. Your ability to hear one thing or the other, all right, depends on what you have been what eating. So when they said they were naked, God said, you were like this before. See? You didn't think you were naked. I didn't think you were naked. Nobody thought you were naked. For you to be talking nakedness now, something must have happened to your perception. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting the point. And that's the one principle about life. There's talk all the time. You know, every day utters forth what? Speech. Day by day. You know the interesting part? Everything that happens utters forth what? Speech. Every time something happens, they tell you about it. It's not just the story of, Amrabas went here, Tis went here, plague went there, and this one happened, or money lost. No, it's not just those stories. They are uttering something that's spiritual to you. Let me explain what I say. They are either uttering confidence or uttering what? Fear. They're uttering doubt. They're uttering unbelief. You know, I said something here a few weeks ago. It's not one of those things that were recorded. It was just at the end of the day. I said that when you talk about being a minister of the gospel, that you know what it means? A minister is a servant. You know what I mean? A minister is somebody that serves something. So as I'm talking now, I am serving you something. It's not the gist I'm gisting that is the issue. Are you following my point? It's what I am serving. So maybe we're in a party and everybody settled down and then they now call, okay, banky, come. Serve them. They are hungry. They are, you know, they are tired. So I serve you water so as to bring life back to your flesh. I serve you food. I serve you a drink. I serve you meat. You know, you eat something. That means I'm a servant. I'm a minister. In the same manner, when you are a minister of the gospel, you are delivering something to people. I don't know where I find what I want to say. That is, for example, the people are tired, they are spoiled, they are afflicted. Are you getting my point? Then you are serving them a word of restoration. Like God said, no one said restore. That is, nobody is serving restoration. So I go there, I begin to serve restoration. It is well. It is well with you. You are a victor. You are not a victim. And the person is imbibing. Are you getting what I want to say here? Is eating something. That is, everything in life is serving you something. That's what I'm trying to say. When you tune your radio, if you hear a preacher, he's serving something. If you hear, there are different kinds of preachers. Some are not trying to serve you anything. They want you to serve them something. They say, please serve me something. You get my point? But as a minister, you're supposed to do what? Serve something. When you buy, a fashion magazine, let me tell you what they are doing. They are serving you something. They are ministers. I learned this one long ago, that Satan has ministers. They have preachers. You know what I mean by preachers? All right? They are those that will do the work of the devil. One example I gave, which I believe is very, very important, is that you see a man enters the occult and he gets a lot of money. Look, he can't help it. He becomes a minister of Satan. You get my point? What does he start serving? He starts serving breaking of homes, breaking of destinies. He suddenly starts pursuing other people's wives. He can't help. You don't follow what I'm saying. You know what he is? He's a servant. He's serving death. That's what the Bible calls death. The day you eat of it, he said, you shall surely die. I explained it. That is, it means things will begin to go wrong. So the man is a minister of what? Death. So he goes to schools and starts picking up young girls, giving them 15,000, 20,000 naira. When Satan is, Satan will probably give him 1 million bucks every other week, every weekend, 2 million. And so 20,000 naira for a girl is not a big deal. But what he doesn't understand is that he's ministering. He's a minister. Are you getting my point? He's removing that young girl's ability to be a good wife. He's removing her ability to do well in the future. Do you follow my point? Satan is using him to bring out something into people's lives. He's a minister. Are you following the point I'm making? That's just the way life is. So, what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You have to look at yourself like that in life. You're a minister. You are serving something. Anything you do, you are serving something. When people contact you, what do they get? Some people have been with Jesus. They came and said, why are they so bold? Said they had been with Jesus. The example I gave that day was Bishop David Oyedepo. When that man first, when God first made him so famous in Nigeria, it was easy to know a winner man. Everybody's a winner man now, you know what I'm saying? Every church has imbibed that spirit. But when the man first came, it was easy to know a winner man. If you see a man walking on the road, and boss wants to hit him and he stops and look at the conductor and say, if you jam me, your boss will be destroyed. You just know, okay, do you go to winners? In fact, usually when you see the guy, he's short, he doesn't have body. You say, this one wants to destroy a boss. You just know he goes to winners. And you know, I remember one day I saw a woman. She had just delivered. And you know, she delivered, for those who understand, a full-term pregnancy, ectopic. You don't get my point? The placenta was planted on top of the uterus. Join the uterus, bladder, this uterus is empty. Baby just swimming around the mother's intestine. So they quickly use the CS and the baby was alive and well. You know, I just asked, I said, madam, please, do you go to winners? No, that was the first question. She didn't go to winners. But I'm trying to bring her a point. But the first thing that came to my mind, I said, oh, madam, come. Do you go to winners? Because that is where people do. You know, they have all kinds of dangerous kinds of faith to produce all kinds of dangerous kinds of results. You are getting the point they make. That a man used to serve a spirit. Do you get what I'm saying? Serve a spirit. That's what it means to be a minister. So you are giving people something to eat. And really, I like my job. When I say I like my job, I like the job that I am doing. That is, God says, Banky, there is food. Go and serve the people. All right? So I serve manna, the food of champions. You can't listen to me and still be afraid of what tomorrow holds. It's not possible. I said that on radio over a year ago. I said, it's not possible for you to be tuning for my broadcast. I'm preaching. And fear will be your personal problem. It's not possible. It's not possible. You have not been listening. You've just been tuning. You know what I mean? Just tune and you go to sleep. No one's starts. Welcome to the way of success. Say, but I tune every 8:30. It's not true. That's a lie. I know your radio is there, but you are not there. do you get the concept? You understand what I'm saying? So God said, have you eaten? That's the point. What I commanded you not to eat is when you have eaten something that you're not supposed to eat, that you start seeing all kinds of wrong visions. I've said this one before, that visions in life, no big deal. Anybody can see anything he wants. Because what you see depends on what you have eaten. Derek Prince described his story once when he was casting out a familiar spirit out of a young woman. And as he was casting out the demon, suddenly the girl had a vision. And in that vision, so he just related the vision to Derek Prince and said, I saw you in a red car, and the car was wrapped around a tree. Derek Prince just to have simply, of course, it's good to have understanding. Just to have simply that, well, you see, that, and you know the way he talks very coolly, all right? If it's somebody like me or some other Nigerian preacher, I just cover that door in the name of Jesus. The man just answered very coolly. That doesn't matter really. That the devil has a plan. That the devil has a plan, and that I don't walk in the plan of the devil. That's simple. No, that there's nothing like I command those eyes to be closed. I command the car to unwrap. And I was like, look, devil has plan. That's his personal problem. Look, the man died at almost 90 years of age. He was not. He didn't wrap anything in any tree. It was one that said that for 60 years he had not been out of the will of God once. So, was this 50 years? In the last 50 years, he can't remember being out of the will of God. So Satan can plot what he likes. His personal problem. I won't enter his red car. I won't wrap it around the tree. If I walk into his plan, maybe that would be an issue. But right now, it is not an issue because we are not working together. What I'm trying to say, the woman saw something. Why? Because of what she had eaten. And the man said, your vision is your personal problem. Do you get what I'm saying? It doesn't apply to me. I'm not feeding on the same thing you are feeding on. I am feeding on the will of God. Do you get what I'm saying? All right. So I just wanted to emphasize that. I said something about that last week, just to add that one to it. So let's go on to the other things that we read. Now, there's something I want us to understand here. Now, when God asked them questions, they gave their various answers. But I won't dwell on those answers because it's something like verse 13. The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. And that was a fact. She was deceived, all right? She didn't guard her heart properly, and that resulted in deception. Deception is when you accept and believe a lie as the truth, all right? That's what it means to be deceived. Adam was not deceived. He never believed the lie. He just took a conscious action, right, knowing what the consequence would be. Eve, actually, at that point, he had believed Satan and disbelieved God. That was why she was able to do what she did. And that's why the Bible once said she was deceived. Now, in verse 14, God now said, I need to read this from here. Verse 14, he said, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and thus you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. Now, please, I'll get back to reading the details. I want to emphasize some things. Alright? Let me just go down to verse 17. I'll still come back there. But there's a truth I want to bring out, and then I will explain. In verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. Now, my emphasis here is on the word because. Now, there are two things I want to bring out here. God said to Satan, to the serpent, like we discussed the other time, and said that because you have done this, and then he now spoke to Adam again. He said, the earth has a problem now. He said, what is the problem with the earth? And he said, why does the earth have a problem now? He said, because of you. Now, I want to add two things together to bring out an issue. One is that what comes upon people in life will have a reason. And that's why God uses the word because. Now, this is what I want to bring out. When you say because, you will see in the Bible, spiritual laws, that's the way they are, there's always a reason why something happens. Are you getting my point? That is, the way I like to illustrate is Isaac Newton. He said that every object continues in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line. Until. Now that until is a because that God says all the time. That is, there is a reason why something will happen. And that, now when it came down, that's in Satan's case, his actions begat him certain things. And I said something to us the other day that appears to me, you know, that God is very, 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 very wise. And when you're talking about the wisdom of God, I don't have time to explain. I could give you an idea of the wisdom of God in a mathematical formula. Well, it sounds like a joke, but I really mean what I'm saying. Listen, how many of you have ever done simultaneous equation? Now, you know simultaneous equation? What you do actually is that you have two variables. All right, so you have two equations that will help you derive those two variables. You have X and Y. Now, that's actually calculating, if you want to use geometry now, you are calculating in two dimensions. Do you understand? Now, in a quadratic equation, if you remember, you have three variables, X, Y, and Z, all right? It's getting complicated. You are now beginning to calculate in three dimensions. Do you get my point? Now, it is possible most people didn't get to this level. If people who went ahead in physics and mathematics, you learn to calculate in four dimensions.